Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Emmanuel.
I'm Oluwani Femi.
I'm Chim Gozbin.
And I'm Bolu.
Yeah, so how are we doing?
Not bad.
Yeah, not
the
bad.
The weekend was restful because we didn't have power, so I had to sleep.
Oh, wow.
Was it a weekend?
My own was really short for some reason. I don't know.
He said, was there a weekend?
They should add another day to Monday before another weekend between Sunday
and Monday.
More like one day before, one day after Friday.
Lazy Nigerian youth.
You see people that our government is complaining about. Don't worry. So, yeah, guys, welcome to this episode. And today's episode is quite interesting.
Yep.
For many reasons. Lots of interesting stories and lots of interesting perspectives. So just calm down. You're going to be hearing a number of voices from different experts we spoke to for this podcast. And trust me, you will have a lot to talk about. And I actually want to see debates, right? Just tag us on Twitter, hashtag us on anything. Just want to see debates. But first of all, we now have crypto regulations in Nigeria. True or yes?
True. Okay. All right. So on Friday, the SEC released the new rules on issuance, offering platforms, and custody of digital assets. Basically, what you will call the first and official regulation for cryptocurrencies in Nigeria, and probably even in Africa, because I think this is a very big deal. It's a very big deal when in the world of cryptocurrencies.
So, are they saying yes to cryptocurrency?
Okay. I'm not the SEC. I will not speak for them. But according to the new rules that they issued, I would say they are not saying yes. They are not saying no. But they are saying it is here to stay, and we are going to do something about it. That is what I've taken from the new
regulations.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it has always been this attitude from the outset. Mm-hmm. We are not saying no. We are not saying yes. But it is here.
I think you can't really say, with something of this magnitude, cryptocurrencies, right? I don't think they're in a position to really say
yes or no, right?
Because it's a very big, well, it's not that big when you think about it, but it's something that will become very big when you look at it, when you look at how it's going, and it's something that's affecting a lot of people. And it came at a time where, the crypto market is in shambles right now.
How much did you lose?
Well,
it's a safe space.
See,
You can say nobody will drag you, trust me.
Funny enough, I really lost anything because I believe
you bought all
my money will grow back.
Oh, okay. Oh. You're one of those people.
Mm-hmm. It will grow back. So it's not as if the money is gone. It has gone down, like it really went down. So
I like your face.
I'm having faith this time around.
Okay, so what is the SEC saying right now? What are they telling crypto exchanges? What are they telling digital wallet providers? What are they telling NFT issuers?
Okay. So SEC is saying a lot of things, right? And one of the things they are saying is they want crypto exchanges to now follow certain rules and guidelines. They want digital asset offering platforms to start following certain rules and guidelines. And they want digital asset custodians to start following certain rules and guidelines.
What's the difference between the two of them?
Okay.
Custodians and issuers.
Okay, let's take it from the top, right? So we now have everybody doing anything with cryptocurrencies are now called VASP. That's Virtual Asset Service Provider. Everyone, as long as you are doing anything crypto related, as long as you are holding crypto, you are exchanging crypto, whatever it is that you are doing with crypto, you are a VASP. And the SEC defines VASPs as anyone doing anything with cryptocurrencies or digital assets. And then there are license requirements for them.
Even the
doing anything. So even you need a license.
Wait,
okay.
I like the name VSP. Well, something to qualify you as a trader. But like, even if I'm just trading, exchanging crypto, I need a license.
Is that what they're saying?
No, no. Okay. Let me break it out for you now. So, any platform that facilitates trading, exchange, issuance, and transfer of digital and virtual assets, those are VASPs.
Okay. It's a platform.
Yes. Does Quidax, is there exchange on Quidax?
Quidax is an exchange.
Yeah.
So Quidax is a VASP.
Okay. Lead Wallet is a VASP.
VASP.
Zen Finance is a VASP.
They are VASPs.
So what do we call the holders and...
Okay, from VASPs now, VASP is like the umbrella for everybody.
Okay.
And then I'll break it down to the different kind of VASPs. We now have the digital asset offering platforms, the DAOPs. Those are the platforms you issue cryptocurrencies.
So in regular language, that is an exchange.
No, DAOPs are not exchanges.
DAOPs
are platforms where you issue your cryptocurrencies. Say, for example, you want the Emmanuel token to be out. For some reason, you want to create a token in your name.
Okay.
You go to these platforms to issue your token. Let people know that, my token is out there. Come and invest.
I remember Bondu and Quidax did something like that last year.
Yes, they did something like that. They issued their own tokens, right?
Mm.
But they are not UAPs.
Okay. Let me try understanding.
Okay.
Let me try to understand what you're saying. So a regular company wants to issue digital tokens on the blockchain.
Yes.
You have to get a license. These guys are what you now call DOAPs.
They are not the DOAPs.
Okay.
Wait.
The DOAPs are the ones that will help you issue those tokens.
So in today's language now, mention one DOAP.
Okay. DOAPs are not really as common as you have exchanges and everything. An example is Coin Factory.
It's a
platform where you go to tell people about your new coin, you issue your coin, you tell people,
is it Nigerian?
You see, the thing about crypto and the entire world of decentralization is
you can't know.
You
where
don't even
from.
Know who knows who owns what, right? It's decentralized.
So how does the SEC plans to enforce?
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
So I think from there we now know that VASPs are the umbrella term, and then we now have categorizations of the VASPs.
So now we have DOAPs. Okay, guys, are you following?
Yes.
Sorry if you hear sirens. We live in Nigeria where sirens are a thing. So yes.
Yeah. So I think for me, I think the most important thing that I was really looking forward to in that document was what is the regulation, what is the requirement for exchanges, which I think will be the same for a lot of people. I think in Africa, we still do a lot with crypto trading, even if we don't want to admit it. What we do with cryptocurrencies majorly is
trading. Yes, okay.
Yeah. So it will be interesting to really know, what does the SEC think about crypto exchanges. So, and here is what the SEC feels. So, in addition to the general requirements for VASPs, so everybody doing stuff with crypto, right? You need a requirement, a VASP requirement. That's for everybody.
Okay.
But now when you now categorize them,
DOAPs.
The DOAPs, the DAX, which are the crypto exchanges. DAX stands for Digital Asset Exchange. So the exchanges will now require a 100,000 naira application fee, that's $240. They will require a 300,000 naira processing fee, which is $722. They will require a 30 million naira processing fee, which is $72,000. Minimum paid up capital of 500 million naira, which is $1.2 million. So basically, if you want to launch your own crypto exchange, it's not something you and your former schoolmates will just say.
How much did LaserPay raise last time?
LaserPay raised $1.1 million.
$1.1 million. So that would just be paid up capital.
Can you imagine? Yeah,
NASA looking for money to do business.
I understand that sounds like a lot of money, but then it's a space where you want to keep people safe. So you want to make sure that people that are coming into that space know exactly what it is that they want to do. There are people that know, I have the money. They should not be people that will just run away with your money.
I think this is the same thing that fintechs are facing, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to be custodian of other people's money, you should be able to prove that I have money.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
It seems, it's not everyone.
So who hears stories that much?
it's not everyone that does not have the money to prove it that wants to run away with your money. But is there really any other way to prove that people will not run away with your money except letting them pay, you know, this amount of
like
money?
Shoe skin in the game, it makes sense.
Okay, it makes sense, I agree. But the only thing in my head now is what happens to that dream of sticking it to the man which crypto has sold to us?
You see, the thing is,
just in case you're not too familiar with that term, right? Crypto is promising you freedom from central authorities, governments, banking institutions, people that try to control every aspect of your life and your economy. So if the crypto exchanges have to be regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission,
defeats the purpose.
Does it not defeat the purpose?
It totally does. It totally does.
Okay.
But we can't have it all. Something just has to leave. And I think this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of what regulations will be like.
Everybody
and
and we'll meet everybody.
Okay.
And that's just it. But the SEC still does not have I think what the SEC is really banking on is the fact that people will only want to do, you know, crypto related transactions on platforms that they have approved to remain safe. That's not to say that a lot of the platforms that still exist, you know, in the decentralized space will still not exist, because we have all these crypto exchanges like Redax, Bundle, you know, everyone. And they are actually centralized exchanges, right? They are centralized exchanges. They have offices, they have CEOs, they have people that SEC can hold. But then they are decentralized exchanges called DEXs that actually just exist on the blockchain. There's really no one you can hold. So we have the likes of PancakeSwap, Uniswap, that will still continue to exist, you know, without any form of... They really, if they want to, they can be regulated, but the truth is, it's just a choice for them.
Okay, I agree. But let's just move on. And this is actually very, very, very interesting, and it runs deeper than we've just touched on here. But Bully is actually working on a story, and we'll be linking it on the description today. Later today, just check TechPoint Africa website, or just check the description and you're going to see the story. But if you want this to be broken down to you to the barest minimum, and you want to be able to ask questions of experts that are close to what's happening at the Securities and Exchange Commission in Nigeria, just make your way to the TechPoint Africa Blockchain Summit. It's coming up this Saturday, correct?
Yep.
Good. So don't miss out on this, right? And if you are listening to Bolu's conversation, he mentioned that the crypto market is actually in shambles right now.
Oh, yes.
Or every coin you can think of, okay, almost every coin, popular coin out there, everything is bleeding.
Don't be afraid. things will get better.
Okay, so that's the same thing we are saying with tech, African tech, right? Apart from crypto market, I find it curious that the crypto market is crashing, and at the same time, the New York Stock Exchange, the big tech
companies,
there's
an explanation for that, but
are actually crashing. Like, they've lost $1 trillion in market value this year.
DeFi has lost $100 billion.
Okay, so yes, it appears that whatever reset is happening in the global tech space could also be happening in the Nigerian tech space or in African tech space. So what's going on there? Okay. Chingozim, I'm looking at you.
All right, so over the weekend, a startup founder, Ngozi Dozie, he's a co-founder at Scabon, he made this tweet, and it was very, very interesting, and there was like a lot to unpack. So just to give a brief summary, he was talking about are we experiencing the Great Reset? So I think the name kind of gives what he means away. So basically, a reset is just a restart. So basically, returning to the fundamentals, you know, when you reset your phone and all. So he's asking, are we experiencing a Great Reset? So he touched about some hot topics that have been swirling around the ecosystem over the last few months. Touched on like valuations, high valuations for companies that have not necessarily proven themselves. He also talked about like the influx of capital. So a lot of money last year, we saw record numbers, and this year there's predictions that those record numbers are also going to be surpassed. He talked about remote work, which is kind of a subset of the whole conversation,
mm-hmm.
and then he talks about M and A. So by the way, there was this last year when we were preparing for Build, we did some of these articles, and it was mm-hmm. like looking at the next frontier in fintech and some other sectors. So
mm-hmm.
one of the things that people we spoke with mentioned was there'll be a lot of M and A activities.
That is merger and acquisition.
Yeah, merger and acquisition. So we are seeing some of them actually, but we are like, it's not really a culture, but it's just going to be happening. Like, it's just going to become a normal thing at some point. So we reached out to a few investors in this space to get their thoughts on what they think about this subject. So broadly speaking, they shared their thoughts on whether there will be a reduction in investor activities, that will less investors mm-hmm. invest in African or Nigerian startups in this context. And they also talked about, Ngozi talked about something called, or he was basically saying you would see a return to companies actually building real value, not just mutual mm-hmm. businesses. So those were some of the topics that they spoke on.
Those are really, really silent topics. Stuff we don't want to talk about, right?
As they say it on Twitter, we are not ready for this conversation.
But apparently a lot of people are ready for this.
They are actually ready. People are using their at button now on Twitter. So what's the update now?
First person you spoke to was Ehusa Omogi. He's a partner at Echo VC, and these are his thoughts on whether investor activities will reduce or not.
Sorry.
That's a great question. I don't know if we're ever able to truly get a pulse on companies raising money, right? Because a few things. One is that there are different elements of the process. So founders go out and they try to raise money, right? And for some founders, they get a great reception, and so they end up raising even more money than they wanted to. Right.
Okay.
And for some founders, they don't raise any. And for some founders, they raise less than they wanted to. So, you know, if you sort of look at those that are able to raise and were successful, you know, there's a lot that probably goes on very quietly. And you know, so I don't think as a firm we've ever sort of even figured out that we have a real sense of what's getting raised. We had deals that we did a year prior before they got announced. That lag time is also interesting because the announcements may cloud what is really going on at that current time. So you start to think that there's more activity when there really may not be because of the overall macro, you know, headwinds that everybody's seeing right now.
Okay, so basically what he's referring to is it looks like we've had like less deals being announced, and I don't know, I think we spoke about it a few episodes ago where we were wondering, are less deals being done? So mm-hmm. he's basically clarifying that yes, you may be seeing less announcements in the media, but it's a bit difficult to get a feel for what's actually happening. So some founders announce, they don't even announce. Some announce a month later, some announce a year later. So it's a bit difficult to say, okay, I'm seeing announcements in May. Are these really deals that were closed in May?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we will need to do an entire podcast episode that we just look at the anatomy of a seed fundraise. So how long does it take you to like raise, pre-seed, and the rest of them? So basically he's saying you may be hearing deals in May, but they didn't really occur in May. Yeah, so we also spoke to Victoria Fabumi. By the way, she's the head of investment at CC Hub, and she also shared her thoughts on whether this is showing that investor activities would reduce.
As a part of me, I reckon that year on year, Africa will still raise more than it did last year. We probably will not just see that growth, that kind of the types of growth we anticipated. It won't be as high as we've seen over the last 5 years from a CAGR perspective. It's not just in the Nigerian ecosystem, generally in this type of squeeze. So we can't openly say it's a recession, right? But there's a squeeze generally across board. And what happens is capital becomes smart and deployment is a lot more targeted, as opposed to investors just generally investing as they would in more bullish markets, right? So would foreign investors like totally halt or like step on the brakes? Not necessarily, but it just means that they will be a lot more circumspect in terms of how they deploy. If you're older or from the older generation and your understanding of the thesis around crypto is not well formed, the first thing that comes to mind is hold on, evaluate the ecosystem and decide on how you want.
So I agree with what Victoria said, right? If you are giving money to do something, right? I'm just bringing it to a literal level now. Mm. If you're giving money to do something, right? But you know that another money will come in, say, a few more months,
yeah.
Right? You can hold some things off and just probably just do a little things or spend that money on other stuff that pays you, right? So bringing it to a startup now, at this point where money will not be so much out there, right? You have to work with what you have currently and do a lot with it. So I think this situation that the economy is, right, would push startup executives to do what they are supposed to do with the money they are giving. So I think I would like that, like going by the conversation of them doing exactly what they are supposed to do.
Yeah, it also reminds me of the conversation I had with some of YC founders. We released a report in collaboration with YC. If you haven't seen it, try and download it. We're going to put it in the description. But one of the YC founders was pointing out that most startup founders are actually expert fundraisers, but they don't
know how to spend the money.
They don't even know how to win customers.
Like they spend, because touched on
and
that.
It's the customers that will bring you more money.
That's like the most important thing.
The most important thing is the customers, right? But when you are raising money on a yearly basis or even on twice a year, you can announce raises.
Mm-hmm.
So what time did you have to do all those things? Like you rightly mentioned, we should actually know how long all these processes takes.
No, it's actually, so it varies for depending on who you are. So if you have some street cred, for lack of a better word, it could be faster. But I've spoken to a few founders who spent an entire year just to raise their seed funds. So those are like, you take a lot of calls. That's the truth. You take a lot of calls. If you're lucky, you could close it in a few weeks or in a few months. But you take a lot of calls. You're speaking to a lot of people. And if this was pre-COVID now, you had to like meet face-to-face. So there was a lot of traveling. You are not around to like do the actual work. So fundraising takes a lot from you. It's usually why a lot of investors kind of favor to at least a co-founder on your team, so that you're focused on fundraising and then this person is focused on the product.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, some people don't like it, but they do it so that they can hedge their bets. You cannot be spending almost half of the year raising money. What happens to your business within that period?
So well, you are raising money. And then there's the part of financial literacy. Mm. Right, we did a space recently, right, talking about that. It's not just about raising money now. It's about being what's it called, accountable for the money you've collected and using it for the right purpose.
Yeah, so it's actually a very important conversation that I think we should be having, because we see a lot of startups that raise money, and when I speak to VCs, I have this question I usually ask them: how many decks do you see in a year? And the average VC tells me they've seen at least 1,000 VCs. Decks in a year. And how many do they fund? Most of them fund less than 20 in a year.
So wow.
Do the math. It's not matching at all. So you see 1,000 decks, you only fund 10 to 15. That's, I don't know, someone should help me the math. It's less than 10%. So that means the people you're seeing raising money are actually the lucky guys. There are a lot of companies that are not raising money.
Wow. Okay, so beyond funding, beyond the whole valuation conversation, what should we be focusing on as an ecosystem?
Okay, so big disclaimer, this is not, it's not me gonna tell you what you're gonna do. No, it's my opinion, but last, you do what you want to do. So the thing is, if you ask me, I would say build businesses that add value to the African continent. So solve healthcare, solve education. I can't tell you to
isn't
solve.
Isn't that what they've been doing? Or maybe what they told us they've been doing?
I comment my chef, but like you solve those problems and they are, I think that's what you should be doing. But it's also important to note that some sectors are not, VCs will not talk to you. Because the VC is looking for like highly scalable businesses. Can I put in money and over the next few years I do probably 20x? That's just the truth. So if you are doing a business that has little margins,
like EdTech,
EdTech, possibly.
Don't let them catch
you.
Why will you mention EdTech? Why?
Some sectors are like harder. So you put money in fintech today, and tomorrow they are telling you you are processing $1 million.
Processing $1 million, yes. Yeah. 5 naira to Nifemi, that's in 5 naira to Anamia.
True.
5 naira to you.
True, that but you, 20 can naira. You can you boast of the same numbers in an EdTech startup?
Let's face reality.
Yeah, you cannot. So the truth is, first thing to note is that some sectors are more they are more conducive for VCs to invest in. They are more conducive. That's just a reality. So if you're not building in those sectors, then that's fine. But something else that the investors we spoke about, Elsa was particular about a few sectors that founders should probably be focusing on. So, by the way,
is that not unfair to other sectors?
No, it's not unfair. It's just the game. Don't hate the game.
And you're saying you solve problems.
Either play the game or just watch from the stadium.
If they are going to solve problems and now you are telling them that focus on this one so that you can get funding, who is going to solve those problems?
Let me clear something. So it's not like they're saying focus on this one. So the thing is, some sectors are more. So
she can look for grants.
So can you go with your mom and pop shop? Thank you. Like, look for alternative sources of financing.
Oh my God.
You can't be selling sweet and you come to me to invest in you. You cannot scale.
Really? So sweet.
I can scale.
Where do you want to scale?
Blockchain. Just add blockchain on top. This guy.
So let's hear what Elsa has to say.
And when we look at sort of the history of entrepreneurship, particularly in Nigeria, you tend to find that we have historically been very good at crowding into spaces that were hot. And people go, well, why do you do that? And I was like, well, the typical founder, I think, is also quite pragmatic. We may or not give he or her sort of that credit, but, you know, definitely worth doing. And that is because you know it's like that classic saying, you know, I don't know if you've heard it, you know, he denied saying it, the famous bank robber Willie Sutton, when they asked him, why do you rob banks? And he goes, well, that's where the money.
So I think that answers your question. if you want to make money, go where the money is at. And really what he just said is something that you can't even fault only startup founders. So if you look at, just take a walk on your streets. Go out. Tell me that you are seeing diverse businesses. I did not order people on our way home. Just look out. Everybody is selling the same thing. The color of their shops are like painted. So you can't fault startup founders. Just go where the money is. There's something called impact investing. So there are investors that invest in like EdTech, agri-tech for the African continent, health tech and stuff. So they are doing this. They know that, okay, we will get less returns than if we do
invest. Our reward is in heaven.
Your reward is actually, it starts on earth. compared to fintech or other hot sectors, you're not going to make as much money. So maybe others are doing 10x. You may be comfortable with doing 3x, 4x, 5x. It's still a healthy return, but it's not going to be, like, it's not something that gets you, like, it doesn't turn you on when you hear it.
Yeah, so, yeah, doesn't turn you on. Wow. Wow. But yeah, that reminds me of, it reminds me of the whole history of Nigeria, right? When palm oil was the big thing, everybody moved to palm oil.
Yeah.
Crude oil came.
Everybody became an oil dealer. Like,
we are still in that rut.
Everybody wanted to become a doctor. Everybody wants to become an engineer. And today, everybody wants to become a tech bro. Which leads us to our latest gist on the table today. So guys, last week there were a lot of table shakings. I'm not going to mention any name, but what we heard on the streets was people were not who they said they were.
Guys, stay in your house.
People are not who they say they are, but we are not going to actually go into the details because we're still investigating that story, and it might turn out to be something and might turn out to be nothing. But what we can't deny is in today's tech ecosystem, we have a lot of people who focus on just displaying for the gram, showing the whole syndrome of fake it till you make it. So we have developers, we have designers talking about the work that they don't do. Ideally, what you should be talking about on social media is the work
you do.
That you do. So what the hell is going on? What is happening in this space? And it's actually it's a very important conversation, considering that more young people are looking to get into this space. So they should not be thinking that this is
the way it's supposed to be.
Yes, it's all bells and roses.
Okay, as you mentioned the other time, it's like when you are living your life for the gram, you feel a need to keep up with what the gram wants from you. And it's quite unfortunate, because I've spoken to a number of experts on a series on Tech Points called The Expert, right? We'll link to some of the episodes, or to you put the link that we did it to all the episodes we've written. And I've spoken to a number of these people, tell me their stories, right? They are not ashamed of mentioning where they started from. Some of them have very embarrassing backgrounds, right? Some of them have challenges that they had to deal with. Some of them have families that were not too privileged, you get, and still they literally climbed the ladder to the top. Right, looking at these examples and comparing it to what we now have, this trend of trying to posture what you're not to the gram so that people can look up to you. And it is unfortunate in another way, because people actually look up to you. Like the case that we don't want to mention had a number of people looking up to him. I don't know, maybe Emmanuel is in that court. Not really looking up to
my name now.
No, but like, he has made a name for himself. And why would people do this, right? So I got in touch quickly with two of the people that are featured on the TechPoint Africa The Expert series. Victor Ekwalo, who is a growth expert. As you mentioned, that he actually climbed the ladder to become a growth expert. And also Adora Nwodo, who is a software engineer working with Microsoft currently. And they have something to say about why people would want to do this. Why would you literally want to fake it till you make it? Let's hear what they have to say.
Head, I would say that social media is the cause of things like this. The quest for public validation, right? You want, maybe for whatever reason, you want people to like you more, or you have a plan to do something, but you are trying to attain some kind of reputation, you know, some kind of reputation before you can do the thing, because it increases your chances at success and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I've heard people say this, and even off social media as well, right? I've heard people say this thing where it's like, oh, if I'm going for a meeting with a client as a freelancer, I'd rather go with a MacBook so that when they see me, they would understand that I am not hungry. And when I give them my rates, me using a MacBook plus the work that I have done would be enough to speak for me to, you know, command the high money I'm asking for. So it's like the work that you've done is not enough, so there has to be some kind of packaging as well. So now it's like for some people, you kind of go to any length to for some people, they sort of go to, you know, whatever length to attain that, for that packaging, to attain that reputation that they need for whatever they want to do.
we need to learn balance generally as human beings, not just our generation, not just young people. As human beings, we need to learn balance. There's a lot of divisiveness that comes with, you know, social media, that comes with social media interactions and the way we think about these things. And it kind of puts everything in the perspective of either being black or white. You know, we need to learn balance.
It is unfortunate, as I mentioned before, but it is the reality.
It is
so. So I know this book, Deep Work, that talks about actually concentrating on what you do and actually staying off social media, not bothering with social media. So, but today we now have the idea that if you're not on social media, you're not going to actually move up the career ladder.
It is the reality. Sincerely, it is the reality. This example that Adaora mentioned about going for a sales meeting or going to meet a client and carrying a MacBook, it is what sells it, whether you like it or not.
And to be clear, it's not just in tech. So a few years ago, I was reading this article by Neil Patel. Neil Patel is like a global marketing expert. And he was like, he wanted to run a test. So he bought a Patek Philippe and wore it. He doesn't wear wristwatches on the norm. So he just bought a Patek Philippe. I think it was $150K.
Wow.
Dollars.
Yes. Dollars.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And he went to a restaurant where high net worth individuals would be in, and he made sure his wristwatch was showing. And he said, as exorbitant as that purchase was, he actually landed a client that day in that restaurant. So there's a correlation between perception and value. There's always it's in human nature.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
A guy comes to you, and you first of all size him up.
You're looking to see what's inside first.
Yeah, forget about inner beauty. Sapiosexual, my foot.
Sapiosexual.
That's good. Those are some dope lines. But like that's the truth. We judge people on what they look like before we start talking about what's in them.
So admittedly that is how man is made up, right? But why should you, when you know that you can't actually meet up, like it's not existing at all, there's a side that you are walking up to it, towards it, right? You want to attain this particular level, but there's another point of view. You know that this is not even what you're doing, but you are presenting it to, maybe you have to borrow Balenciaga joggers.
So I don't have an answer, because that is one of the questions that keeps me up at night. So when I hear people that have carried out scams successfully, I usually wonder what their thought process is like. Like, I wouldn't mind having a conversation with them too. Like, how did you think about it?
So, but considering how distracting social media is, considering how much flair and glamour you see, which most of the time you can't see behind the substance, if you don't know these people personally, you don't know if someone is tweeting about VR or AR or machine learning or someone who is bidding for the metaverse. You don't know. If you don't know the person's best, how do you know if they are doing the real thing? So who's willing to take the bet with me that you can steal your social media and steal ball?
It might take time. Why?
Because that is what the world is built on currently.
So let's look at it this way. I used to have this thought that my career, like I'll have an anonymous career if I wasn't out there on social media. So if you know me, I don't know how to use social media very well. So I'm always scrolling very fast. So
I can relate.
I used to ask myself whether I had any hope, and then I say, thinking, people like our parents' generation, there was no social media, but you could see one person. He's moving from UBA to First Bank to Emma Bank to Sky Bank. How did they know that he's good?
He applied for the job.
No.
I'm talking about top level execs.
Okay, yes, I think Emmanuel's point works. Networking, meeting people.
Even if you're not networking, see, if you know
what you're doing, what we get out there,
they will find you.
Yes, so the thing is about balance, as Victor mentioned. You have to just look for the balance. Don't get drowned drowned in what you're trying to get into people's faces. And we try to get the thoughts of Victor and Adora on how to avoid this kind of the pressure that people on the gram are giving to young people, that's making them fall into this. So let's just listen to what they have to say about it.
We're in a generation where, to a very large extent, there is this fake it till you make it thing, you know, oh, put yourself out there and everything. Very valid, there's nothing wrong with that. Truth is, I struggled myself as a younger person growing up with putting my work out there. It was hard for me, right? That's one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, you see people putting themselves out there more than the work that they do. None of these ends of the spectrum are good. At the end of the day, the most important thing is to strike a balance. Do work, and then talk about the work you do, right? Once you are able to achieve this balance, or a semblance of it, because to be fair, I don't know that like anybody can strike, you know, a perfect balance, but keep striving, you know. And this thing is like a drug, especially with social media. Before you realize what you're doing too much, you're doing the most, you are lying. And the need for validation and more validation just fills your innate need to just get more. It's like a drug. It's very, very enthralling, you know. Before you know, you are looking for more. So when the real substance finishes, you go for more lies and untruths. Balance. That's what I will always advocate.
In the age of putting yourself out there, I think to avoid falling into a state where, you know, you are pressured unnecessarily, it comes with discipline, right? I mean, there are people that are rich, or people that are doing well, that have achievements. But the truth is, those people have other people richer than them, or other people that have more achievements than them. And everybody is putting themselves out there now. So it's like, are you going to constantly be in competition with everybody around you because you are unsatisfied? So I think that the major thing, in my opinion, is discipline. You have to be disciplined. You have to understand that at the end of the day, you are the one that matters, right? Just keep making sure that you are better than the version of yourself that you were yesterday, that you were last week, and you are constantly trying to be better for yourself, and you are making progress in your life. You are setting goals, you are smashing them. You are setting goals, you are failing sometimes, you are learning from that failure, and then you are going ahead to do bigger things and better things. But if, as people, we are not thinking about how to actually get that discipline, how to only focus on ourselves and our own growth as opposed to comparing ourselves with others, then nothing will change. Don't compare yourself with people. Appreciate the little things that you're doing. Make sure you are always making progress.
She has said it all. Like, she has said it all. If you're the word, it is what it is. It is what it is, right?
It
is now on you, on us as young people, right, to know when to strike the balance. They mention balance, they mention discipline. If you don't know when to stop, it's going to drown you, it's going to consume you. That's just it.
Okay. So, dear listener, are you striking the balance or are you faking it for the crown? So, don't be pressured by external factors, and I think the central message is just focus on making sure you're better than the person you were yesterday, the person you were last week.
Like Monica, right? Of the Friends.
Ah, all right.
You can't relate.
All right. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to this point. And it's been a roller coaster. We've had interesting perspective. We've almost come to blows here in the studio. But we're good. We're good. We're still cool. So, that is to remind you, this is to remind you that we're having our blockchain summit this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to miss this. I mean, so, all our tickets are sold out, I guess.
Yes, we have to look out on our socials for giveaway tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, don't miss those giveaway tickets. Just follow our social media handle on Twitter, Facebook. Twitter is techpoint.ng, and if you're listening to us for the first time, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anywhere, and just post your comment with us with the hashtag #TechPointAfricaPodcast. And if you're listening to us for the first time, where else can you get this podcast?
Coco Pops.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, you agree.
I need to practice that. Don't worry. Yeah. I'll come back next time.
Okay. You can listen on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict, and everywhere else.
Spotify. Why do you keep on forgetting
whatever
Spotify?
There's an ongoing conversation about that. We're not trying to draw ourselves into, but yes, Spotify is on the list, and everywhere else you listen to your podcast.
All right. Thank you very much, and see you on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.